From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. U.S. commanders in Afghanistan are condemning a decision by the Karzai government to release 65 prisoners. The U.S. says they are directly tied to attacks that killed or wounded dozens of NATO and Afghan forces. NPR's Tom Bowman has more.
The Afghan government said there wasn't enough evidence to try those who were released from the Parwan prison just north of Kabul, but U.S. officials say many of them had direct links to attacks, and the evidence includes fingerprints and explosive residue found on their hands and personal property. Among those released is Nek Mohammed. He's accused of helping stage rocket attacks against U.S. and Afghan forces around Kandahar. He was found with several 107-millimeter artillery shells, as well as mortar rounds and homemade explosives. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said President Karzai has sidestepped his own rule of law. Graham wants to cut off all U.S. development aid until Afghan elections are held in April. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.
GM is recalling nearly 800,000 older model compact cars because of an ignition key problem. As Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick reports, the carmaker says the problem has been linked to six deaths.
The recall applies to some 2005 through 2007 model year Chevrolet Cobalts and Pontiac G5s. There's a flaw in the ignition switch that could actually cause the car's ignition to shut off while driving. According to GM, that can be caused by a jarring event on rough roads or even the driver's keychain being too heavy. It can also result in airbags failing to deploy in a crash. The Detroit automaker acknowledges that the flaw has been connected to six deaths and crashes where airbags didn't deploy. GM dealers will replace the ignition switch in the affected cars, with recall notices going out to owners in the coming weeks. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Swick in Detroit.
Facebook is announcing its 159 million U.S. users will now get the option of completing a question on their profiles identifying gender. Working with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights groups, the social networking site says it's come up with a custom option that will let users identify from up to 50 different terms for denoting gender. Alex Schultz is Facebook's director of growth.
Facebook wants to allow people to be able to express their genuine, authentic selves on the site, and we want them to express their whole selves. And so not allowing people to express something as fundamental as what they think about their gender is not really that cool, so we want to make that available for everyone we possibly can.
Among the gender options, Facebook users in the U.S. will now be able to specify androgynous, bigender, intersex, or gender fluid. Nation's retailers were a bit less busy last month, at least in terms of their sales numbers, with Americans spending less money on autos, clothing, and at restaurants. According to the Commerce Department, retail sales were down 0.4%, marking the second straight decline after a smaller drop the previous month. Stocks closed higher today with the Dow back above 16,000. The Dow was up 63 points. You're listening to NPR. The mediator for the UN-brokered Syrian peace talks now says Russia and the U.S. have agreed to help break a current deadlock. UN negotiator Lakhdar Brahimi emerging from a meeting with senior U.S. and Russian officials today to say the respective countries have agreed to try to unblock the situation because of a lack of progress. The second Syrian peace conference in Geneva this year has offered an opportunity for conversation, but has resulted in little in the way of movement. The Obama administration is leading an international initiative to create a global biosurveillance network. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports the project aims to set up a system to quickly detect and respond to emerging disease outbreaks.
The Global Health Security Agenda is an international network that aims to try to deal with new infectious diseases wherever they pop up in the world. The project is a collaboration between 26 countries, the World Health Organization, and several other international agencies. The idea is to try to be better prepared for the next SARS or the next swine flu outbreak. National security officials say an international biosurveillance network would also help spot potentially dangerous pathogens, whether they were released accidentally or as part of a terrorist attack. The initiative will help laboratories in low-income countries so they're better able to monitor and hopefully contain emerging disease outbreaks and other potential biohazards. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
Evacuations are underway in Indonesia on a densely populated island after a volcano there began erupting. Officials say there are upwards of 200,000 people living in 36 villages in what is deemed the danger zone for the volcano, which is the island of Java. In 1990, the same volcano, Mount Kalud, erupted with searing flames and lava that killed more than 30 people and injured a number of others. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.